Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Uncork the Sun with the Vinstitute Wine School. I'm your host, Moss Sherkogel, the only moss you want on your roof. My wife told me that joke didn't make sense, but she has a normal human name, so she doesn't get a vote in this. Today, we have a very special guest. Now, we've had special guests on before. We've had plenty of special guests. But they've almost uniformly been winemakers and vineyard managers. And it's nice sometimes to talk to somebody who represents a different aspect of the wine industry. Because there are a great many aspects to it, from presenting the wine in the tasting room, to managing distribution of the wine, to third-party retailers, to maintaining the business's wine club, and their social communications. There are people at wineries who do all of these jobs. Or, if you're at a small winery, you have one person to do all of these jobs, and more. And today, we're talking to that one person, Sheila Whitaker.
Hello.
You see, Sheila is the manager of a winery, which means that, like with most other small wineries, she just kind of does everything. The winery she manages is Nostalgia Wines Incorporated. But a couple of months ago, she was the manager of Oliver Twist Estate Winery. Now, people, of course, change jobs all the time in the Okanagan, but not in Sheila's case. Here, Sheila and the owner Gina Harfman have recently presided over a brand and name change for Oliver Twist Winery, relaunching it as the new Nostalgia Winery, as much as it is an oxymoron to call something new nostalgia. The old wine bottle labels, which used to bear the words Oliver Twist in bright, swirly lettering, have been replaced with a really eye-catching new design that layers a gradient of gleaming golden lines across a matte background in a way that tricks the mind into seeing things that might not really be there. Sheila's going to explain in our interview why they went in this abstract direction, and she's also going to expound upon their other line of labels, which feature pinup girls and classic cars, which is an artistic idea that Gina brought in years ago, but which now fit in more than ever with the theme and the name of their winery. Oliver Twist used to be a winery that I continually recommended people to go visit, partially because of the high quality of the wines they were producing, but partially because of the friendliness and the charm of the staff. Nostalgia Wines is going to be no different, and you're going to see in this chat with Sheila why it is that they're just so fun to visit. But before I say too much, let's hop right into the interview here, and let the manager explain herself what it is that she does around Nostalgia Wines Incorporated. I present to you my interview with Sheila Whitaker.
I'm Sheila Whitaker. I'm the general manager here at Nostalgia Wines, just south of Oliver. A little bit about me. I'm a certified sommelier. I've studied my WZ. I've studied wine for almost 10 years. So hopefully I can answer most questions that any guests would have. As general manager, I'm the head of our hospitality team. So I'm always here at the winery. Well, always 5 days a week, seems like always. So I train our staff and work with everyone here. And I like do our social media, our business planning, our online store, our website, and a zillion other things here at the winery. So keep pretty busy.
No kidding. It's interesting that you have done so much independent study in the field of wine before you came and started working at, well, we may as well just flag this right now. You work at, like you said, Nostalgia Winery, yes?
Yes.
But a year ago, what was that winery called?
Well, even a month ago, we were Oliver Twist Estate Winery. So to celebrate our 15th anniversary this year, we decided to go big and change the name. When Gina took over as owner of the winery back in 2012, she didn't change the name at that time out of respect for the owners, the original owners who named the winery and helped her really to take over the ownership.
How long had the winery been established at that point?
It would have been 6 years. So it was established in 2006 and Gina took over in 2012. So now we're 2021. It's 15 years later. Gina's been at the reins for almost 10 years now. And it was time to make the change. So what she did change when she took over the winery was to introduce the pinup series. So Gina used to do pinstriping and airbrushing of hot rod cars and motorbikes and classics. She's very artistic. So she found a pinup artist called Ralph Birch in Southern California. She loved his work. He's been doing pinup for decades and decades. I think he's in his early 80s now. and she loved his artwork. She also wanted to play a little bit more with blends, not just have varietal wines on offer. So when she introduced these fun new labels with the pinup girls and different classic cars, a lot of them are cars that she's owned in the past.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. In the Rockabilly, she had a 33 Ford, and there's a Merc on Cherry Baby that she used to have as well. So yeah, she worked a lot with Ralph choosing the cars because they mean something to her.
That's great.
Yeah. So yeah. So those were introduced shortly after Gina took over. I think the 13 vintage was the first vintage you would have seen those girls, those characters come to life on the labels. And those wines are more of the blended wine. We have a blended white and boogie woogie white. Rockabilly red is a blended red. And then we have a rosé and a sparkling wine and a fortified wine all in that series. So that at the time she called nostalgia series. So nostalgia is a word you would have seen on our labels for quite some time. You've visited the winery. We have all the old stuff. We play all the old music. We have the old track in the yard. We're just really nostalgic girls around here. And we love all that old stuff. And really drinking wine, enjoying wine for us is all about spending time with friends and family, creating memories, sharing memories, and that feeling of nostalgia. So it really just means a lot more to us here at the winery now. And it's great to see Gina kind of finally have her own winery and the name that really clicks with her.
And it is, like you said, an incredibly appropriate name.
Yeah, for sure. We're loving it. And we worked with Town Hall Brands to create the new look because, of course, we have the pinup line that didn't change that much. It got a refresh. And of course, it has the name Nostalgia on it, front and center.
They are easily some of the best labels in British Columbia, I would say, on a wine brand. They're so eye-catching. They're bright. They're colorful. They're very fun.
For sure. And we like to have fun here. We make really great quality wine. We're on the Black Sage bench where we are quite serious about our winemaking, but we also want to have fun. We're not a stuffy place. So that's in the pinup line. We can really show that we like to have fun around here.
The labels definitely say that.
Yeah. And the girls are part of the team. They all have names. So you have Ruby Sue on the Rockabilly Red. I mean, she has more seniority than I do. I can't fire her.
Have you ever thought about getting a cardboard cutout to put in the wine shop?
With all the girls? We do have some pretty big posters of them, but
that'd be fun. Like an old movie store, right? Like walking into a Blockbuster and seeing Keanu Reeves or something.
Maybe we'll cut their faces out. You can put your head in.
That's good.
You could be Ellie Mae.
Or just, you know, with the arms slung around, right? Yeah. So, okay, keep going. What are the names of all the girls?
Oh, okay. Well, you have Ellie Mae on the Boogie Woogie White. Ellie Mae loves to dance the night away. You have Billie Jean, who she's on the scene in her pink Cadillac. So she's on our rosé. Ruby Sue, of course, is the bad girl that's on Rockabilly Red. She brings that attitude to the blend. So we have mostly a Bordeaux blend there, but we add Syrah, and that's what brings the Rockabilly rumble. It really adds that sort of savory bad girl appeal to the blend.
Rebellious.
Yes, she's a naughty one. You have Cindy Lou on our Chantilly Lace. So she, her sparkling giggle just lights up every room and every celebratory occasion. And finally, there's Bobby Joe, who is our little firecracker on Cherry Baby, our fortified dessert style wine.
That is so incredibly cute.
we know the girls well. They're part of the team.
That's wonderful.
And people always ask, oh, which one's you, or did they used to work here? No, they're all fictional characters. I just personify them.
Yeah. But it's nice having the car connection. Like I said, I didn't realize that. That's cool. And that, of course, plays into the concept of nostalgia too, right? That, that Gina's old cars reflected in the labels.
Ruby Sue, her car is black. Gina's 33 Ford was blue, like quite a vibrant blue. But she decided on the Rockabilly Red that Ruby Sue maybe needed a black one just to keep her bad girl vibe, you know?
It makes sense. Makes sense for the character. You know, you got to write for the character.
For sure.
But the new design, the new logo also looks fantastic. And it almost in contrast, right? The pinup girls are bright and colorful and fun loving. And the new nostalgia logo and the new label is really clean. It's really elegant. It's still fun. It's not stodgy.
Thank you. Yeah, we worked really hard with Town Hall Brands to get there because It was so tough with nostalgia because everyone has different memories. Yours and mine will be different, but we have a similar generation. But then if you think about everyone who comes to visit us here, you know, some people are baby boomers, some people are millennials, or what do we even call the ones younger than millennials? I don't know.
Post-millennials.
But we have like all these different generations. We don't want to assign a graphic or an image to your memories. So we wanted to make sure that it was abstract so that when you look at that label, it's sort of a glittering foil. To different people, we get different feedback about what they see. A lot of people do see water, like a reflection on water, either the ocean, a river, a lake, depending on where you might have grown up. Mm-hmm. But like people from the prairies often see a freshly tilled field, like wheat.
Oh, or
we had a couple of people who see, you know, back in the old days when the TV ended at night and then you would get the static. If you're of a certain age, you might remember that. I mean, Netflix never goes off, but before it was like, good night. Thank you for watching. And
that's great. Were there any sort of unique challenges in creating the brand change? Anything that you didn't expect?
Well, the biggest challenge, Gina, you know, she has such a history in arts. You know, she started a fine arts degree when she finished high school. She did the pinstriping and airbrushing of cars. She is a really great, even like cartoon artist. And so she has this artistic eye. And we really had this strong feeling that nostalgia needed to be this abstract image. And we really pushed our branding agency to create that image. And it actually went beyond our deadline. So the biggest challenge, I was getting so nervous that we would just never find that label that we wanted. And then when we saw it, I felt just so much relief because we knew that when we got it and we saw the one that we have, we thought, okay, that's what we were waiting for. But it was like, maybe we had 86 different versions before, like 80 or 90 versions before we got there.
Wow.
So I was getting pretty nervous and it was getting a little tense because I think everyone was feeling this way. The branding company was like running out of ideas. They were like, just choose one already, you know, and they were actually very, very patient. But, and Gina was getting nervous that we wouldn't find it. And we had our bottling date set. So we actually had to bottle our 2020s without labels because the labels weren't chosen yet. And then we had to go back and we have to open every case and hand label every single bottle.
Oh, hand labeling. Hand labeling is no fun.
No, I mean, there's a machine, but you go one by one. So it's by hand, you take out a bottle, you put it in the machine and the machine turns it and applies the label beautifully. And then you take it out of the machine and you put it in the finished box. And then you repeat this, you know, like 70,000 times.
Well, it seems like it was worth it because the finished label is great. And regarding how abstract it is, I do love the idea of that sort of Rorschach inkblot test there. I definitely got water. I mean, I look at it and I see water. I see sun dappled on the water. But of course, I'm from the coast, right?
And you're an island boy.
I like that deliberate idea to make it ambiguous so that it appeals to different audiences.
It's just like when people taste wine, I can't tell you what you taste inside your mouth. I know what I taste, but a lot of what I taste might have to do with my memories, my own sensory memories. A good example, people from New Zealand always with their Sauvignon Blanc. What is that berry? The gooseberry. But gooseberry isn't something very common in Canada. So when someone says gooseberry to me, I don't eat gooseberries. So it's that sensory memory because some notes in a wine, I might think like, oh yes, I know exactly this flower because my grandma grew it and I smell this flower in this wine, but maybe your grandma grew a different flower. You're not going to smell my grandma's garden when you smell that wine.
That's a great way of putting it. And I don't know if it's surprising or predictable to hear that sort of thing from somebody like yourself who is so well-trained in wine knowledge. I saw a diagram once that sort of implied that people who didn't know very much about wine tended to have very broad-reaching tastes. And then the more that they learned about wine, the more narrow their tastes became until they came out the other side and started learning quite a bit about wine, at which point their tastes broadened again.
Oh,
and
I think like an hourglass.
Well, exactly. I think it's kind of this idea, again, that a little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing. When you know just enough about wine to say, well, I don't want this and I don't want this, but I want this. Mm-hmm. But then once you start to learn more, you realize that there's a place for everything and that every wine has its own individual beauty, and that every person is able to taste wine and gain something different from it.
Well, for me, a perfect example of what you're saying is Chardonnay. People will say to you, like, no, anything but Chardonnay. I don't like Chardonnay. And I think, gosh, all of them, like, how can you not like such? It's the second most planted white grape in the world, and it's so versatile. If you don't like Chardonnay, you're missing out on some of the world's most prestigious and best wines, like Chablis is Chardonnay, White Burgundy is Chardonnay, Champagne is Chardonnay. Chardonnay can be made absolutely dry with no oak. You can make it super fruity. You can grow it anywhere in the world. So it can be either like super minerally bone dry, like your teeth are vibrating, you know, like a real tooth rattler, or you can have an ice wine made of Chardonnay that's totally sweet, and you can have it oaky, not oaky. I mean, it can go in so many directions, and just to blanket, you know, I don't like Chardonnay. It blows my mind.
And again, I think it's when you've learned just enough about wine that you've tasted a few and you didn't care for them. And that kind of becomes the assumption. It's great when you find people, I don't know if you ever find this at the tasting bar, if you ever get people that are completely green, it's beautiful. I always love that when I'm working at the winery and I get somebody come in and say, I've basically never tried wine before. My friend dragged me out on this wine tasting. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in learning. I know nothing about it. Let's start from scratch. That is,
I know.
Ooh boy, I'm going to sink an hour into that. That's going to be a 60-minute tasting right there.
Yeah, it's so exciting. I feel like shaking up our Chantilly and spraying it all over them. Like, we get some people that come in and they're like, this is my first winery visit ever. And I'm like, what? I get to do it. Awesome. Like, you're here at our winery. Welcome.
Pull the ripcord, unleash the streamers and the confetti and the balloons.
Yeah, don't be scared. It's going to be fine. I'll be gentle.
So Sheila, where did you do most of your wine education? Because you have some fancy names. You played it down a little bit at the beginning there. You said, oh, I've done my WSET and so on and so forth. But no, you've got some scholarly titles. Oh. give me your full resume here.
I got pretty addicted to wine classes. So let's see. I lived in Vancouver for quite a long time, but Vancouver never was quite the right place for me. I kept trying to move there and it kept like spitting me back out. So I did three times I moved to Vancouver. So it was the second time I moved to Vancouver. I had lived in Japan for a year, moved back to Vancouver, and I started freelance writing. I was writing mostly about careers and education, but also about wine and travel. And as I started writing about wine, I thought, oh, I need to know more. Like, as I start looking into it, it's that little bit of knowledge, you know? Mm-hmm. And I thought, like, oh, I can write what I like, which is good enough. It's kind of early days of blogging, you know, before Instagram influencing. But I thought, I better get a little more serious here. So I signed up for WSET, and then I just did the first level, and I thought, oh, geez, that just let me know how much I don't know. So then I went into the second level, and then I went into the third level, and then I signed up for my diploma. And somewhere along the line, people kept asking me, are you a sommelier? But WSET, it's more of a business of wine certification than a service of wine certification. So it's the Guild of Master Sommeliers that does the sommelier certification. So then I did that course and got certified as a sommelier through them so that I could, you know, say I'm a sommelier, I'm certified. Yeah, so the WSET, I went through to the diploma. The diploma is a pretty serious undertaking. It's 2 years of study and some pretty intense tasting exams, and Wines of the World is a pretty big undertaking. So I was really happy to finish all of those exams. I had wine maps all over my apartment and studying the mountains and the rivers and the, you know, the types of grapes and all the styles and where the wind blew from. I had little creases on the maps. I'm a visual learner, so I had to walk around my apartment. I was walking around the Wines of the World. Yeah. And then at that time I started working at a wine shop because I wanted to see the wine labels too. And you need to get to know the business and the labels and the pricing. And you got to taste a little bit more working in a shop as well. And then finally, that's when I began working for an import wine agent in marketing at the time. So I worked for them for 2 years in Vancouver. And then they moved me to Montreal when they wanted to start a fine wine wing. So then I went out to Montreal for 2.5 years and helped establish their, it's now called Galleon, which is their fine wine kind of portfolio of the Dandaran portfolio in total. So I worked with, I don't know, all sorts of amazing producers from all over the world. Ferrari, a sparkling wine from the north of Italy. They were a really great partner. I got to visit a lot of these places as well, which was pretty fabulous. And of course,
fantastic.
Montreal is such a great culinary town. So when you're talking about winemakers' dinners with the Drouin family, trying all of these gorgeous Pinot Noirs and Chardonnays that they grow in their property in Burgundy, it wasn't too bad a Friday night.
Not too bad. So that's a pretty big transition then, going from working at an agency and helping to sell some of these internationally legendary wines to then moving back to British Columbia and going to such a small operation in relation. And because of the nature of British Columbia wines still being just barely discovered by the world at large, something that is so much quieter. So what was it that made you come back to BC?
Well, I moved back to Vancouver with the agency. I worked for them for two or so more years in Vancouver. But I grew up in Osoyoos, and my folks are getting older. They're still in Osoyoos, and there's some like health problems in the family. So I just kind of looked at my life and thought, you know what? I can work in wine in the Okanagan, and what's more important? So I'd like to be close to my family. So that was the reason for me. And as soon as I made that change, all of a sudden, boom, like I bought a house and that all went through. I talked to Gina. Gina, the owner and winemaker here at Nostalgia Wines, she and I attended kindergarten together. And we had been friends since. Friends growing up, we were in the same graduating class. Like I have cards that she sent me when I went away to university.
Like, oh, that's sweet.
We really go back. Like she said, all my when we were kids, and you have the pictures of the birthday party, like down by the pool, it's, you know, Gina's always in there with me. So our families know each other. And so of course I reached out to Gina and said, hey, you know, I'm thinking about moving back. Have you heard about any work? Or she's like, what? You're moving back? I need help. What do you want to do? What can you do? Come work for me. Don't talk to anyone else. Write a job description and do it for me at the winery. Like whatever it is you can do, I want it. So I was like, oh, great. So yeah, I got a house, got the job, came here, started working with an old friend, which is fantastic. Also very nostalgic. And it's been great.
That's wonderful. Yeah. So how did your previous work prepare you for this?
Yeah, no, it's been great. I wasn't only glamorous events going out for winemakers dinner. A lot of it was just Excel spreadsheets and forecasting and pricing and like looking at a competitive set and deciding where needs are in the market. So a lot of that is very, very helpful because I do all of our forecasting and pricing and, you know, look at competitors and how are we priced and what are we offering. And so a lot of that is very helpful.
That's the meat and potatoes, absolutely necessary.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, you can't work with Gina and not be a hard worker. Like she's out in a meeting right now because she consults and makes wine for a neighboring property. So she's meeting with them. Yesterday, we were in a media call. She was out with her mom planting flowers at the top gate. The other day, she pulled out cedars with her truck. She was out with a chainsaw the other day, cutting down elms. She's down in the winery, like moving cases around on the forklift. She's hauling cases, packing up orders, and in charge of our landscaping and ordering signs. And she's go, go, go. Like she doesn't stop. She works so hard. And if you're going to work with us, you need to also be willing to put in that hard work and to keep going. Because for her, like there's no stop. There's no impossible. There's no, it can't be done. She just makes it happen.
She sets the standard for the staff, right?
Yeah. The other day she was trying to load at the top gate, loading in some, she's changing the look up there and she's trying to put these barrels into the back of her truck just up there by herself. And these bikers stop and they're like, what are you doing? How do you think? And then the four of them found it difficult to help her. And they're like, how did you think you were going to do this by yourself? And she looks at them, she goes, I don't know, channel my anger.
Well, she's a farm kid, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So Gina's family has been farming in the South Okanagan for four generations on her dad's side. They were more ranchers, but her dad got into orcharding and planted vines actually in the late 90s. So we do get some of our Cabernet from her dad's orchard. We were there yesterday actually taking some photos for Father's Day. So it's all the way south in Osoyoos where her dad is. So it's a really great place for Cab because it's so hot there up on the hill on the east side of the water. And then on her mom's side, her grandpa Fernandez he came over to Canada. There was like the government was enticing people from Portugal to come over here and work, or in many other countries too. But he started in the east, moved across to the west. He came from Madeira. He was looking more to start farming. So he came south and south and south. And when he laid eyes on Osoyoos, he thought, aha, this reminds me of home. I can farm here. So what he bought, it was 7 acres for $7,000 back in the day, back in the 50s or 60s. And that's, her aunt still has that property with an orchard on it. And he just started buying more land as he could and brought the family over and just started building his farms and opened Fernandez Fruit Stand that's still in Osoyoos. Gina's mom and her aunts, also very hard workers. They still run Fernandez Fruit Stand there. He had banana farms. It was the only banana farm in Canada.
Holy smokes. I never heard about that.
Oh, yeah. When I was a kid, we used to go run around in there. He was a pretty hip dude, like never wore a shirt, always had shades on. He's always super dark tanned and he had his bananas and he'd like put a little splash of wine into Gina's soup and say, you know, it's good for you, you know? yeah, it was a fun place. Once he died when we were in high school, would have been late 90s. He actually died where Walnut Beach Resort is. That was his walnut grove. That's why they called it Walnut Beach, because there used to be walnut trees growing there and other trees, but he did grow walnuts there. And that lakefront property was his farm, and he loved that place. And that's where I think he eventually passed.
That's incredible. Yeah, I didn't realize how interlinked Gina's family history is with the just the very geography of Osoyoos in this area.
Yeah, because they were really early arrivals, I suppose. And then her grandpa said when he started planting fruit trees, he said, one day there's going to be grapes here, because he really saw the similarity to home in Madeira when he started farming here. Hmm. So yeah, she's, when you say she's a farm girl, like she's, it's in her blood. Like she is definitely a farm girl.
Gina, or you're not Gina, Sheila.
I'm Sheila. Yeah, we're talking. I'm always talking Sheila. With Gina.
I don't know. The video isn't on. I'm just guessing. This is kind of a rare opportunity because you have learned so much about wine because you've studied international wines. Sheila, do you mm-hmm. think that you can name a grape variety or a wine region for every letter of the alphabet?
Oh, jeepers. One because or the other?
Aim for grape variety and then tuck into wine regions if you need to. But see how many you can get just on grape variety. And if you'd like, you can try to do it all by yourself, or we could go back and forth.
Let's go back and forth. It'll be easier.
All right. Okay. Sounds good. Here we are. 26 different grape varieties, ideally, or wine regions if we need to. Starting at A, I'll let you start off. With okay. A, put you on the spot here.
Okay, so Albarino.
Albarino, yes, good. Okay, B, Baco Noir.
C, Carignan.
D. Oh no, Douro.
Oh yeah, it's a region. That's
yeah,
good.
I know, because I couldn't. Do you know of any grape varieties start with D?
D, Dolcetto.
Oh, Dolcetto. See, yeah. See, and
now
over
I'm
to you.
About
E.
E, and I'm. I don't know, Moss.
Epernay.
Okay, that's a good one. E. Yeah. Okay, let's move on to F.
All right. Okay. F is me. F. Franc, comma Cabernet.
I love it. for G, we have. This is harder than you think.
I know. It's tough, isn't it?
Ooh. All I can think of is grape.
Grape.
Do grapes count?
G is for grape.
They go in wine.
Yeah. Okay, I've got H. There's got to be a German variety that starts with H. By the way, I'm going to edit out all these silences so it makes it sound
makes it sound like
we were just plowing through.
We're just going to be hitting them. H. I'm just thinking winery names. I'm like, Hester Creek, Geringer Brothers.
I know. No, it's really tough. It's really tough.
Well, Hermitage.
Hermitage. There. Hermitage. Beautiful. Great. Hermitage. Thank you for the save. Now you get I.
I. thinking there must be an island wine region, some sort of isle, but all I can think of is Islay, the for Scotch. That doesn't count.
Ice wine.
Oh, ice wine? Is that a region or a grape? Yes,
I'm stretching it. I'm stretching it. We can come back to ice.
J. The Jura? It's a wine region.
Oh, there we go. Perfect.
Yeah. K for Kerner, obviously.
That one's an easy one for you. L. Okay, well, I mean, there's wine regions and wine regions that start with L's, but let's try to find a grape first. Leon. What is it? It's a hybrid that's out here on Vancouver Island.
Oh, yeah.
It's two words, and I'm trying to remember the other.
That's good enough for me. I'll believe it.
Leon Millot. Yes, it's a hybrid.
Yeah. You know what? I think I tried that when I was on the VQA panel.
Leon Millot.
Like really floral and kind of aromatic, right? Yeah. That's L. So M. Marsan.
Great.
N.
Nebuchadnezzar. Okay. Size of bottle.
Size of bottle. Or Noir, comma.
Noir, comma, Pinot. There you go. Yes. another beautiful Vancouver Island hybrid, Ortega.
Ortega, very good. Mm-hmm. Very good. P, Pinot Noir, Pinot Meunier, Pinot Blanc, Pinot Gris, all the Pinots.
And it goes on and it goes on. Q.
That leaves you with Q, though. That's a tough one.
I know. This one I dreaded. I've got one in the bag for X, by the way.
How about Queensland in Australia?
There we go. Queensland. Perfect. Okay. R.
Roriz, comma, Tinta.
Oh, this is good. It's really, really handy tool to be able to reverse the word. S. I'm going to say seven yet.
Oh, very good. I was thinking Sylvaner.
Oh, yeah. Good one.
But yeah, good. Okay. T. Seems like T-shirt. Torontes from Argentina.
Torontes. Good one.
Torontes.
U.
You. How about like Uruguay? This is a wine region. It's a country, but it's, I don't know if they have defined regions.
Well, there you go. If they haven't subdivided it up, then Uruguay. Good. Uruguay.
Yeah, wine of Uruguay.
Yeah. V.
Viognier.
Viognier.
The happy grape. Viognier.
W. Oh.
W. There must be a vine in Germany.
Well, this is what I'm thinking. There's like a Wachsteiner or something. I just can't remember exactly.
Or Weissburgunder. This is Pinot Noir in German.
Deal. Sounds good. Okay. I think we've now listed Pinot Noir for three different.
Weissburgunder is totally different.
Yep. And now X.
X.
I don't know any that start with X, but second word. Yes,
there is one that starts with X. It's part of Cava is Shirello, but Shirello starts with an X.
Oh, I was thinking Pedro Ximenez.
Oh, Ximenez, nice. Yeah, but I think Shirello would be a pretty legit X. It's used usually in Cava. They grow it around Barcelona.
Very cool. You mean more legit than my X?
Well, it's PX, but it could be Pedro, comma, Ximenez.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. No. All right, we'll take yours. Why? Do they grow grapes on the Yangtze River in China?
Oof, I'm not sure.
It's a big river. They probably grow grapes somewhere around it.
they must, right? I'm trying to think around, maybe around Walla Walla, there's a town that starts with what, Yakima?
Yakima.
Yakima? They must have a wine region around Yakima.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure they do.
Yakima wine?
I buy that.
Zed grape, but Zweigelt.
No, we got a couple. Yeah, Zweigelt, Zinfandel.
Zinfandel, of course. Mm. Easy. Zed's easy one.
Look at that.
Oh,
A to Z, completely legitimate, no fudging.
Oof. What a
All
challenge.
Above board. We did it. We nailed it. Good job, Sheila.
You too. Good job, Matt.
Cross province high five.
Oh my God. Smack. Yeah, there it is.
Take care, Sheila.
You too. Thanks, Moz.
Thank you again for listening to Uncork the Sun today with me and with Sheila. And be sure to check out Nostalgia's wines with their new brand, their new product lines, and also just to see the incredible quality of wine that they currently have. Sheila herself said off mic that the best thing to come out of 2020 was the grapes, and Nostalgia has some excellent demonstrations of that available right now. In addition, for anybody who's visiting the winery in person,
outside, we have a brand new redone, re-landscaped, expanded picnic area, and we'll have the food truck Crave Creative here, and they've made a menu to pair with our wines, and we'll have some charcuterie cheese boxes as well that you can add to your tasting. Wow. So we'll be doing memorable wine experiences here.
Yes. Beautiful, magnificent. And yes. If people are not going to be traveling to the Okanagan, how can they get their hands on your wine?
They can visit our online store. So shop.nostalgiawines.ca. You'll find all of our wines there, and we're still offering free shipping for 12 plus bottles. We ship throughout Western Canada. We'll get it to your door and pay the shipping for you.
There you have it. Free shipping. Visit nostalgiawines.ca to get some wine shipped to you right now, or come visit them in person if you're able to. To learn about more of the wineries of Oliver and Assoyous, visit www.oliverassoyous.com. Thank you to everyone who's been watching our live Virtual Vinstitute broadcasts. These are live-streamed wine tastings that we do at the end of every month. The next one is going to be July 27th, 7 p.m., and you can check it out on the Oliver Assoyous Wine Country Facebook page or watch it after the fact on their YouTube channel. To post about this show or about the live tastings, use the hashtag UncorkTheSun. This podcast is a collaboration between Oliver Assoyous Wine Country and the Vinstitute Wine School and is released on the first Tuesday of every month. If you have any questions about wine, winemaking, any topics that you'd like me to discuss, feel free to email me at moss@vinstitute.ca. The music for this episode was provided by Olav. To hear more of his work, visit olav.bandcamp.com. The host has been me, Moss Sherkogel, eternally grateful that I have somebody around to check my facts as I record them. What do we have to look forward to this summer from Oliver Twist?
Oh, from Nostalgia Wines.
Yes. Okay. Sorry. Let me redo that take. Still better than when I called her Gina. Whether you're experiencing the beauty of Oliver Assoyous Wine Country from the comfort of your home, or whether you're planning a trip here for the future, we cannot wait to raise a glass with you and uncork the sun together.